Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the 1599th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. You are listening to Let's Talk About It. I'm your girl, Adrian Misunderstandings Allen, better known as Misunderstood Adrian. And tonight I have the visionary, the one and the only, Chappie Tallene, pastor, toy, put it in the book, daily. With me tonight.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Just in case you don't know, Chappie, Toy, and Pastor are all the same person, but they are different in the different light. So the blessing of it is, if this is your first time joining us tonight on Purpose Kingdom Network, I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. It's going down in the PK. And if you have gotten a chance, you need to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom as you have some leisure time and check out those archives. We've been doing this thing for almost 6 years now, and each and every episode there is something for you to eat. There's something to chew on. Like if you were into a place where you say you want to go to the buffet. You know, have you ever been to a buffet where everything was good? Oh, maybe I'm just hungry. Hungry. Think Thanksgiving at your family's place when everything is great and you can just fill your plate with every single thing that's on the table because every single thing is good. That's what Purpose Kingdom Network is. 2 full weeks of programming where everything is good. If you don't like it, then that's all right. Try the next thing because I'm sure you'll like that. And then make sure you pass it to somebody else that you think that would be interested, because trust me when I tell you that if it ain't a word for you, it's a word for them. And if it's not a word for them, it's a word for him. And if it's not a word for him, then it can feed her as well. So if you don't understand what I mean by that, what I'm saying is Purpose Kingdom Network is like, it should be a household family name. So without further ado, let me welcome you to Let's Talk About It. How does this usually work? Back in the day when we first originally started it, it was really cooler. It was water cooler talk. Like, take this conversation that we have here today and then pass it on to your water cooler talk tomorrow when you're at work to give everybody an understanding of how and what it is that God is really trying to do in each and one of our lives. Now, because of what happens when we get together, we usually have this thing where we have to set the atmosphere. Now, if you don't know anything about setting your atmosphere, this is how you know that when you can resonate with the fact that you have a kingdom authority over some things, you know when you can tell the devil when and how not to be played. Like, don't do it right now. Like, you might get me tomorrow, but right now, this is God's time, so I need you to actually have a seat. We do have the authority to do that. So for those that are getting overwhelmed and they'd be so anxious about this and that, or depressed about this and that, understand that you can find power in the authoritative prayers of the righteous where you could just say, excuse me, devil, not right now. So without further ado, what I would like is Chappie, if you don't mind, could you set the atmosphere and let him know he can't have it right now? If he'd have tried it at 8:50, maybe. But maybe. Now you got to wait until, like, tomorrow. Give him the whole rest of the day. I ain't even going to say till 10 o'clock. I'm going to say shut down and go away for the rest of the day. Can you do that for me?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. We bless you. We praise you. We glorify you, Father. We magnify you, Father. We magnify you for you and you alone are God. You are worthy of the glory. You are worthy of the praise. You are worthy of the adoration, Father God. We offer up to you the highest form of praise this evening, which is hallelujah, Father. We say hallelujah unto you, Father, the Lord of hosts, the creator of all, the great I am that I am. Hallelujah, God. We come asking entrance into your presence this evening, Father God. We come into your courtyards with thanksgiving, and we enter into your gates with praise, Father God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you this evening, Father. We ask, Father God, that you will look down on us, your creation, this Father. If you see any sins within us this evening, Father, we ask forgiveness of them this evening, Father. Sins of omission or commission, Father God, whether it was through thought, deed, or action, we come to you with a repenting heart this evening, Father God, asking forgiveness of anything that would keep us or hinder us from being within your will, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Then, Father, we come asking that you will grant the need of your people wherever they may be this evening, Father, for you are Jehovah Jireh, the provider, Father God. We ask that you meet needs right this minute, Father God, right now, this second, Father God, whether it be financial needs, whether it be spiritual and emotional needs, whether it's mental needs, Father God, whether it's physical food for people to eat, shelter over their heads, Father God. We ask, Father God, that you rain down blessings upon them right now, wherever they may be, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Then, God, we can't go any further without stopping to pray for Ukraine this evening, Father God, for those families over there that are living in the ruins of a war-torn country, Father God, for those lives that were lost over there, Father God. We ask that you will move by your might and your power, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you will bring peace in their land, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Then, God, we ask that you will toil the soil of our minds this evening, Father God, that your word, that your testimony, that your witness will fall on good ground this evening, Father, that it will take root, Father God, that we will be good walking epistles of your word. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you, thank you. Wow, amen. If you are out there and you would like to join us live on the air tonight, the number to call in is 319-527-6091. The way it works is if you press 1, it'll signal the board. They let us know, then we'll bring you in. You'll hear the beep, and it'll be your turn to speak. So that's how it works. What are we going to do today? We are going to talk about it. But I thought, how appropriate would it be to talk about the day after the resurrection? No, like literally, because yesterday was like Easter or the resurrection or however you want to say it, to be able to resonate with the fact that Christ got up yesterday. Let's talk about the day after. Let's talk about, did you win? Did you, well, I'm not sure if anybody should be failing, because if you fail, yes, if you fail today, or if you felt like you were stuck in depression today, or you felt like you couldn't do it today, or you felt like the world was against you today, then maybe you don't have a strong relationship with Christ. I would believe that what would happen the day after Christ got up, it would be different from what the disciples went through, because remember, that was like new to them. So years later, in the way we see it, the day after the resurrection should be all wins. Like, thing out of everything. What you say? Down. I fell where? Oh, no, I'm up. I'm sorry. That was like Saturday I was down. Today is Monday. I'm up. Don't you know Jesus got us? Oh, I'm up. Now, that just is me. And that is how I resonate with it. I know there is Bible that can go with that. So, because it's me and you, Chap, remember how we used to do it back in the day? And we'd have, like, the regular worldly conversation coming out of my mouth. And then what would do is somebody would have the thought to say, I don't believe she just said that. Or did she just say that? Or why would she say it like that? And then you would just back it up with what the Bible says about that. Because, see, I believe that people are living off of their feelings and how they see things and how they were taught something, and they are not going off of what the Bible says. They are not going off of what the Word of God says. And I believe that because of this, we're finding ourselves standing on different levels in different platforms. And each individual person has like a thing to say. And it's weird to me because it's like, okay, the Christians did the Lenten fast, and they fast from Ash Wednesday all the way to Resurrection Sunday. But if you think about it, the Jewish religion is in the middle of Passover, and the mm-hmm. Muslims are in the middle of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to take the people out of it or the religion out of it and say that there was an honoring of God going on in the same time, I don't mm-hmm. consider that to be a coincidence.
One of the things that we have to remember is that One of the things that we have to remember is that all three of those different branches of major religions that you just named, Christians, Islam, and the Judaism, all three of them stem from one person, and that's Abraham. Remember Abraham, who God sort of fell in love with? Abraham was before David and before Solomon and before Matthew, Mark, and Luke and all of them. Abraham, you know, when they would talk about, when you would hear King David and King Solomon or any of the Sadducees or Pharisees or even Jesus himself, when you would hear them talk about their forefathers, they would always say, what did our forefathers, or we serve the God of our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Abraham being the father of Isaac and the grandfather of Jacob, that Abraham, out of Abraham comes Judaism as well as Islam, as well as Christianity. On the Islam side, Abraham's son Ishmael, who he had by his handmaid in Sarah. And it's a long story. Y'all should really read the book of Genesis. I'm telling you, even if you don't believe, you should read the Bible in total. But even if you don't believe in God, if you were to read the book of Genesis, just as far as reading it as just if you were reading a novel, I'm trying to tell you, when I say action-packed, drama-filled, some heavy cha-cha and rah-rah going on, man, it was going on in the book of Genesis with some of these folk. Because, I believe we have Sister Janice on now. But what I was saying was God made a promise to Abraham that him and his wife Sarah would have a child. They were old when the promise was made. They were even older when the promise was fulfilled. Sarah got tired of waiting, so she was like, yo, Abraham, I'm going to give you my handmaiden, because back then, if the handmaiden had a child, it was really considered the wife's child, although it was the handmaiden's child. And although Abraham should have said, no, we're going to wait on God, he was like, okay, let's see, maybe you're right. And then they had Ishmael. And then later on, Sarah did conceive, as God told her, and she had Isaac. And Sarah got jealous of Ishmael and Ishmael's mama, so she had them sent away, and God promised to bless Ishmael and his descendants and his mama and all of that, and said out of them shall come 12 tribes, and da-da-da-da-da. You can read it all in the book of Genesis, and that's your Islamic nation. Then you have Isaac, who goes on to give birth to Jacob. And Jacob, well, he has two sons, and you can read that story and drama part in the book of Genesis also. But Jacob ends up having his name changed by God to Israel, or Israel, and that's where we get the 12 tribes of Israel, or the Israel nation. They come from Jacob. And Jacob, where you get the Jewish nation and all of that, that come from Jacob and his descendants. And out of Jacob and his descendants, because of the provisions and decisions and wisdom of God, comes the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. And I say it that way because Jesus, during biblical times, name was pronounced in Aramaic as Isa, in Hebrew as Yeshua, was a common name. But the title of the Christ, the Messiah, the God-man, that is not common titles. Comes Christianity. So is it coincidental that we find ourselves celebrating certain holidays and things all around the same time of the year? No, it's not. Because at the end of the day, in all honesty, somebody gonna get mad when I say this, but in all honesty, we're serving the one true living God. It's just we have accepted the gift that God provided. Another group, they accept the gift, but they don't want to believe that the gift is God in flesh. And the other group don't want to even say that the gift ever showed up. They, you know, calling up the heavens saying, yo, can you check the tracking number? Because the Messiah never came. He ain't show up yet where he at. The other group is like, yo, we got the gift, but this gift was just a prophet. It ain't really nothing special more in him than any of the others. But we do believe he's going to come back again because we believe him to be the Messiah. And for us who follow Jesus Christ and his teachings and his life, and I don't just mean follow it, but apply it to our lives, we know that he is and was the God-man made flesh, that the word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. And we know that because when nobody else but God have taken what Jesus took for us. Pookie wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done it. So that's why we find ourselves all at the same time in a festive, in some type of holy festive time or period.
Well, I thank you for breaking that down. That was like the Bible, like 2.0, and that was more than like it was more than like a cliff note. Remember back in the day, you used to get the cliff notes so that you didn't actually have to read it. But right, like she said, The Bible is action-packed if you read it. It is action-packed. Not to mention that your lives, each and every one of our lives, are extremely action-packed. And the difference is if you read it and you see someone else going through it, it helps you actually relate it a little bit better to your situation, to your life, to what's going on in your life. So, and she was just in Genesis. You was just in Genesis.
Right. I was just in Genesis. But to piggyback off of what you said, not only can it help you relate and deal with your life, I promise you it'll give you the answers to your life because it's action-packed. However, it's also life-altering if you hope open your heart to the words that you're reading within it. It is life-altering, and I mean in a good way. That book, you're an addict, that book, it can get you delivered. You're a liar, that book can put truth and honesty coming out of your mouth. You're a thief, that book will teach you how to work for that what you need and how to make amends for the things you've done wrong. You're a murderer, that book will teach you how to find forgiveness. Like, that book is life-altering. If you're a victim, that book helps you find forgiveness. Altering is life-changing. But it's a good read while it's taking place. I'm just going to put that out
there. With all of that said, that's the kind of power that you feel the day after the resurrection because of the fact that you know what's in the book. You've seen what happened. You understand how. See, I just like to look at it like, I have a lot of conversations with a lot of people. At the end of the day, the choice is really up to you. That's why we get the choice. You get a choice to believe. You get a choice whether you don't. There's a choice in also falling in some mud and getting out of it. And that's the difference. There's people that have chosen to, if you don't believe, if you don't want to believe, if the story doesn't sound right for you and you can't find the victory in the story, that's just like sitting in the mud and being all right with it. You know, you rub it on your face, you do whatever you have to do. Now, you know, if y'all were listening to D-Block, the mud would be something else. That would ride. That can rhyme with hit or something. You know, I'm just saying. So Monday evening, let's talk about it purposes. We just going to call it mud. You know, when your dirt get wet, it turn into mud no matter what. Everybody got dirt. And so when it get wet, it turns into mud. The difference is, do you sit in the mud? Do you allow the mud to become a part of you? Like, are you, you know, do you eat mud pies? Have you resonated with this mud to the point where you don't want to be clean from the mud? You don't think that you can wash the mud off and you walk clean again? Those are the things that can happen. And speak religion all day and someone is like, I don't believe, I don't do this, da, 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 da. Do you like dirt? And do you like it on you? Because if you don't like it on you, Christ gives you an opportunity to clean yourself up, clean yourself off, and live a new life, you know? So I think I heard Chappie say that Sister Janice is on the line. Sister Janice, are you there with us?
Yes, she is. You know, Satan is a liar, and he always tries so hard. But like Pastor said, read the book. You get all your answers. And guess what? I got my answer.
Amen to an answer. Listen, amen to an answer. Have you ever been somewhere, people, and you're like, this is done. This is over for me. I understand that this is over for me, and I need to make a move because this is over. I've seen it's almost like when the brook is dried up, you know? When the brook is dry, you need to leave, but how many of us want to sit where we're so comfortable, but we realize we aren't even eating in this same situation. We need to move. This is done. Like, you know what I mean? There is nothing here. So if we don't make that move, there's like death that happens while you're still alive because you're no longer living. You're no longer exploring. So it's like when you make that decision to actually move, now a lot of us have made decisions to move, and then what you realize is as you're moving, you think that the next door is going to open, but it doesn't open automatically. So you know what I mean? So people get caught up in the fact that I'm moving, but they're waiting for this next opportunity. And because they're waiting for this next opportunity, I like how Chappie used to always say, you know, the devil hears your prayers. The devil hears your prayers. So it's like, because of the fact that the devil hears your prayers, the first 2-3 things that show up in your life and you think that they're God, they're usually not God, it's usually the devil. But if you're not really in the book, you can't really see exactly how it's supposed to go for you. You can't really get the understanding that you're looking for because you're trying to get your own understanding. But you're looking at the things that you see, and you're hearing the things that you hear, and we know that that's all a setup. So if we don't have anything that is actually countering the things that we see and the things that we hear, we're actually living in the realms of the enemy and what he's into, and we think that it's so current that it's God? Or am I just speaking for myself?
You're speaking true, sister. You're speaking true.
No, if you are out there and you would like to join us, the number to call in is 319-527-6091. And you may press 1. Now, the reason why I'm just giving the number out is because I'm talking about waiting in the hallway, situations where you're on your way to making a move and the door hasn't opened yet. But remember, today is the day after resurrection. So understand that if you're sitting in the hallway, you're even sitting in the hallway different today. With a understanding of, I know that the door will soon open, but meanwhile, I will be working on me.
Amen.
Meanwhile, I will be getting my finances in order so that I can understand what it is that I need to do for this next move so that when this door does open, I can come through it like Christ got up as opposed to being down.
You know what? Can I backtrack on just a little bit? Because we always talk about working on our finances. Like when we talk about working on self, we always talk about working on finances. But sometimes we got to work on just our own mentality. Because, you know, sometimes it's not that the door hasn't opened. It's that our attitude is preventing us from being able to walk through the door.
And
you know,
right.
While we're in the hallway,
I understand that.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know why God just dropped that in my spirit, but while we in the hallway, he got the finances, trust me. Anything God got for you to do, anything God wants you to do, he is prepared to bankroll you in it.
Well, you know what I heard? You know, the way that I've heard it said is in the finances, like money, your money, how you are with your money is a heart issue. So it really turns into exactly what you're saying, because if your motives aren't correct about why and how you need finances and what you need these finances and funds for, it won't manifest for you anyway because of the fact that it's not like you're saying. So on the religious part of it, got me, is how you're saying. But for a person that doesn't know anything about God, if they are just a nasty person within themselves, they have nothing but bad that they would like to do with the money, that kind of money does not work.
And
I've been told you have to check your heart. check how you feel,
right.
truly
you
how you
check
feel.
Your motive. You got to check
right.
your motive. You got to check what it is you're doing. But you, but, and all of that goes to, back to you got to work on yourself. You got to work on you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. See, when we hear spirituality, for those of us who are believers in Christ, when we hear the word spirituality, for whatever reason, we tend to shun away from it. When in all actuality, your walk with Christ is a spiritual one. Your walk with God is a spiritual one. You are not a physical being trying to have a spiritual experience. You are actually a spiritual being having a physical experience, and we have gotten so attached the physical experience that we have dulled the spiritual being within us, so we're struggling for the spiritual experience. But what you have to really understand is that that spiritual piece of you, are you doing it from, like she said, a place of or a desire of to share love, to do better, to bless others, or are you doing it of a place of from Lucifer, just the I factor, the prides of life. I want more money. I want to be able to do. I want to. It's a different thing. But when we, for what I'm saying to him or talking about it is, you got to get your spiritual together. And to be honest, I know I'm getting ready to make somebody mad. We probably going to lose some listeners. I don't care. I'm going to say it. If you get mad, get on your knees, pray about it. I didn't say it. I'm just repeating what the Word of God says. Until you get connected to the original creator of all things, your spiritual is always going to be messed up. Your motives is always going to be messed up. And I know there are a trillion and one ways that Satan has made us think we can connect to God outside of the one way that God himself provided.
That's
for those out there that might be listening that, you know, don't believe in anything. He provided a way. That same God you trying to reach down to us. He didn't just reach down, but he came and hung out with us and then got hung up for our hang-ups.
And you know, ladies, what my feelings towards that is, like Sister Aiden said, you know, what about somebody that's not in the Christ or don't know Christ, you know, that's not in the Word, you know. But you ever hear somebody, let me go here. Did you ever hear somebody say, now I got the idea, I got the money, I know I can do it, but I don't know what to do or how to do it? Or somebody would say, you think I should do this or you think I should do that? You know, so it's a conviction in there, you know, but they just don't know where or know how, you know. But until they get their connection with Christ or get their connection with the right thing or use the money in the right way or not be a manipulator about money or anything like that, any type of finances, you know, because if you're doing anything that you do from your heart that's financial, you're going to feel good about it. And if you're doing something that's not from your heart, you're not going to feel good about it. So you're going to have some type of guilty feeling, you know, and we're going to walk around wondering, oh, should I have done that? Should I do this? You know, you can constantly ask the people, but you the person with the money. You understand what I'm saying, lady?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I understand. Look, I understand, and then I can put you on to another side because even me personally as the author trying to understand what is it that I want to say, what is it that we're doing, if you are not full and spiritual within yourself, those answers don't come. you are still sitting in the same position because there's something that hasn't been fulfilled or learned in that moment. Like a lot of us get caught up in it to the point where we just need things to happen. And a lot of things just don't happen. They happen the way God wants them to happen. And as long as you keep doing whatever it is that you're doing to make them happen, you're just prolonging what it is that God is really trying to do in your life. That's what I've learned. And I know that when it comes down to finances, there's a way that we have always been taught that, you know, we live a life of struggle on earth. Mm-hmm. And then we receive our riches in heaven. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, we have taken that and literally, like, don't set up our generation, you know, like we have people that die and we need GoFundMes and stuff to bury the people. God forbid they have children, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't leave anything for the future generation, because I know that God says something about that. So that it can be generational, so that what we do today, it will last for generations to come. And in order to do that, you gotta have more than the eye in it. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't see past the eye, you're only gonna build for eye. You understand? And it's funny how everyone right now is suffering with this gun violence. We're suffering with the black-on-black crime. We just suffer with crime, period. I don't know if it's black-on-black or just stupid. I'll just call them stupid, you know? It's stupid crimes going on right now. But a lot of them are children. And because of the fact that they're children, we want to up even more. Understand that now we have things that are in you got organizations popping up out the wazoozie, okay? You got all of the different rec centers and things about to do all of these great things. Everything is in place. But if we don't attack this spiritually, by going into the actual prayer, listen, I understand how people feel. I understand that you might be offended or whatever. I'm offended if we don't pray. I'm sorry.
You better tell me.
If you need to do it in your own kind of way, in your own direction of whatever you need to be doing, we need to do it. Because that is the only way that this thing that we have even tried to establish is going to think about working. Because we can talk till we are blue in the face, because what we're seeing right now, the only way we will be able to attack this is spiritually.
And
because
you know,
what you really literally want to do to the kids right now, you can't. So you better ask God to do it for you.
Can I help us start spiritual attack?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adrian, can I help us start the spiritual attack? I'm going to start with where you started. You said, you know, there's scripture that talks about leaving something for your children. You're talking about Proverbs 13 and 22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. So that's your instruction on why it's important to get your business in order, because God's word tells us to. However, that part we was talking about earlier on working on what it is that you believe God may have placed in you, when you're trying to figure out where that money is going to go to, and you're waiting for the door to open. And I said that, you know, get your attitude and spiritually correct first. And then the door is going to be open, because for some of us, the door is open, but our attitudes won't let us walk in. That's the second part of that verse. When I said, because God has the bankroll for you, because the second part of that verse says, but the sinner's wealth laid up for the righteous. But then he gives us instructions on how to do it. He says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He tells us how to do it. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is the son who brings shame. He's telling God's word even tells us how to do that. And then like he said, none of it, number one, God's word means nothing to a person who doesn't believe in it. If you don't believe me, read that story in the book of Acts about them two brothers. It's slipping my mind exactly where it's located at, but read that story about them two brothers in the book of Acts who decided they was going to go into a tent and pretend like they knew Jesus and cast out a demon. And because although they were saying, we cast you out in the name of Jesus, they didn't really know Jesus. And the demon looked up and said, yo, dog. And I'm paraphrasing. You know the word of God don't say dog. But the demon said, yo, dog. Peter, we know. Jesus, we know. But we don't know y'all. And then the demons jumped on them. Like, we got to get our minds right. We got to get into a place of real relationship.
Amen.
We got to stop arguing about religion, stop teaching religion, and start teaching relationship.
Amen. Amen.
And relationship starts by talking to him. He is constantly talking to us. He wrote us a love letter. We call it the Bible.
Amen.
He took on flesh for us. We call him Jesus, Yeshua, Isa, Jesus, if you spare. He took on flesh for us. He did that because he loves us. He is waiting for us to talk to him. But unfortunately, we can't do it all these different ways we trying to do it. He provided a way for us to do it. He provided a way for us to boldly walk into the Holy of Holies. Now think about it. Everything you've ever done wrong. I mean, ladies, think about it. Anything you've ever done wrong, during biblical times in the Old Testament, if a priest, a servant of God, went into the holies of holies but was not cleansed properly, they would die immediately. But because of
listen,
Jesus,
I know I'll be messed up.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Up.
Man, I'd have dropped at the threshold. Boom, gone, done. So I'm saying that to say, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of my faith, my belief in and through the works of Jesus Christ, I have direct access. Because of Jesus, I have direct access. God stepped off his throne, placed part of him in the womb of a woman. And you sitting here trying to find another way and he gave you the key. And then you're going to get mad when you can't get in. Or when it don't look like what you think it should look like. Or when you get it. And then you unhappy and unsatisfied for that which you thought you wanted. Because your motive was messed up. Your head was messed up. And because you were not connected to the great connection, which is the creator of it all. God, Elohim, Jehovah, El. I don't care what name or title you call him by, the creator of heaven and earth, the great I am. Because you're trying to get connected some crazy way. Like when folk used to get bootleg electricity. or bootleg internet or bootleg cable. You didn't really have it, but some way you figured out how to hijack into your neighbors. Now everybody ain't got quiet, like somebody ain't never used somebody else's Wi-Fi number code or something. And then you sitting there mad because you got a slow download, because you trying to jet lag into something that God gave you for free. I'm just saying, maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Well, it ain't just you. Trust me when I tell you, it's not just you. But you could give them the call. You could show them how to have a better relationship to fix what it is that might be wrong.
Amen. It's not just you.
You know, when you buy a house or rent a house or an apartment and you first move in, your house is set up to receive electricity so that when you plug in anything that needs electricity to run through it for it to operate, you can have that electricity. You have the power that you need for your appliances to operate. Although your house or apartment is set up for electricity, if you don't call the electric company, I don't care which company you choose to use, if you don't call the electric company to get connected to the main electrical power grid, although you're set up for electricity, no electricity is going to really run through that house because you're not connected. Somebody said, oh, well, I can get solar power. Guess what? Even solar power in some way has to be connected to that grid so that it can get the access power. Same thing in your life. You were built to be connected to the Creator. Everything in you has the proper outlet to connect, to plug in to God, the Creator. Some of you are plugging stuff in. You're trying to connect to Him. You're plugging stuff in, but you got the wrong type of plug. Plug it into the wrong type of socket. So you're getting shortage and feedbacks, and it's not becoming productive. You're blowing your electronics and your appliances up instead of being able to use them properly. Because the proper plug, whether you want to believe me or not, whether you want to believe God's word or not, is Jesus Christ. And the way that you plug into Him is you just accept that you need that plug, that that's what you need, so that you can spiritually plug in to God. And you do it by accepting the gift that God gave us. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. What did He give? This is His gift, His only begotten Son. What is the importance of that gift? That whosoever believes or receives that gift shall not perish but can have everlasting life. And I don't just mean life after we step out of this flesh, but can begin to experience it even now in the flesh. I'm not telling you what I read. I'm telling you what I'm experiencing even now. And the part I love the most, is not that God loved us that much. It's not that He gave His Son. It's the whosoever clause. He said, whosoever believes on Him, in Him. Whosoever means no matter who you are, no matter how much money you make, no matter if you have six figures in your bank account or negative figures in your bank account. Doesn't care what continent you live in. Doesn't care who your country's rulers are. Doesn't care about whosoever. Doesn't care about what things you may have done wrong. Because whosoever, all of that, from A to Z, whosoever believes in him shall not perish. How do I not perish? You just accept the gift. You say, God, I come to you this evening, first acknowledging you as my Father and admitting that I'm a sinner. Teaching lesson, I'm sorry. If you've ever told a lie in your life, that means you're a liar. You're a sinner. If you ever stole anything, I don't care if it was as much as a penny off somebody's table, you're a thief. If you've ever backbitten somebody till you had the whole neighborhood talking and looking down on somebody, guess what? That's called character assassination. You are a murderer. And all those things make you a sinner. But it's okay. Because now you're saying, Father, as a sinner, I'm accepting the gift of your son Jesus into my life. Asking him to forgive me of those sins and to begin to make me new from this moment forward. I ask him in my life. I turn my life over to him. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, God. And then you just tell somebody. Guess what? You don't have to wait until Sunday morning, Sabbath worship, Sunday worship, Bible study, prayer. You don't have to worry or wait until none of that. You just let somebody know, hey, I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. I'll never forget the day I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior for myself. I was 13 years old, standing in the bathroom, curling my hair, singing and humming a hymn because we were getting ready, the junior choir was getting ready to sing somewhere. And the Spirit of God fell upon me. And the first thing I did, I didn't wait until I got to church. I called and told my grandmother about it. Because that day, even though I had been baptized years ago, as a child, that day when I said yes, hallelujah, God, when I said yes to him that day, that's when my life began to change. Did I still have my ups and downs, my falls, my failures? Yes. However, everything that the enemy meant for evil, and sometimes I was my worst enemy, God turned it around for my good. So if you said that prayer, you are saved, and we welcome you to the kingdom of God. And we praise God for you, but more importantly, the angels are rejoicing for you. And we encourage you to find the Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until you do, bless God, that is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. Brother Robert is going to come on, and he is going to give us some announcements, how you can continue to follow us and listen in here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Brother Rob.
Yes, yes, yes. Wow, I am enjoying tonight's show. And, you know, real quickly, before I go into the announcements, I just want to read something from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And it is just a confirmation of what tonight's show is all about. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And amen. You know, and just to say as far as a statement, man, that is so powerful. And, you know, like I said, tonight's show was confirmation. And I really enjoyed it, and I hope everybody else enjoyed it. And real quickly, I'm going to go to the announcements. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. And no matter where in the world you're listening to us, we greatly appreciate you, no matter you're listening to us via phone or you're listening to us online. We greatly appreciate your listenership and your support. We are thankful for those that share with their friends and family members. We greatly appreciate that. Anytime we do a live broadcast, we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Anytime we do a live broadcast, we do have a call-in number if you want to speak to any of our hosts. And that phone number is 319-527-6091. And you can press the number 1 where you can speak to the host. We also invite you to like us on our Facebook page at Purpose Kingdom, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And, yes, Purpose Kingdom Network does have a radio program, and it's on pknradio.com, where you can see you can hear 24 hours of gospel music. And from time to time, we do rebroadcast some of our shows. And also, we do the same at radiocode.com, where you can feel free to, you know, invite your friends and family members. We greatly appreciate that. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. We greatly appreciate a praise report, or you can just simply say hello. We're glad with that. And we just want to let you know that tonight was episode 1,599, and tomorrow's episode is going to be 1,600, and that is going to be DTW Ministries. Please don't miss tomorrow night's show. It is going to be a powerful ministry by a man of God, and that is going to be hosted by Reverend Aaron Williams. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening with DTW Ministries, and that's going to be hosted by Reverend Aaron Williams. And as always, we greatly appreciate your listenership, and we hope you had fun, and we hope you share it with your friends and family members. This is going to be the end of the announcements, and ladies of Let's Talk About It, I'm going to hand the show back over in your hands.
We thank you so much, Brother Rob, and I know that we are rounding down to the last couple of minutes, and again, if you would like to make sure that you hear the duration of our show, now's the time that you have to actually call in to hear it. The number, one more time, is 319-527-6091. And listen, because we're about to do a take it back real quick, because I swear to God, y'all, I don't know what to say or how to say it any better than to just say, if I could take back anything, I want to take back our lack of opportunity. You know what I mean? I don't know how to say that. Take back the motive. Take some of this junk out of our world so that we can have a good opportunity to see God, to be in position so that doors can open for you, so that you can do things that you need to do today for generations and generations. I don't know how to say that in the take it back, but that's what I want to take it back. Like, thank you to get it or whatever I got to do, but that's the hell what I want to take back.
I know that's right.
Yes. Yes.
And you got to take it back.
Yeah, well, as always, I have to do a take it back. Take it back tonight is, I would say, authority. When I say take back authority, is take back our authority as men and women of God in do what it is that we're supposed to do in the eyesight of Christ, you know, spread his gospel the way we supposed to spread it, and spread it in all honesty. And a portion from my show the other night is stick with it. Amen.
Amen. My take it back tonight would probably sound a little bit weird, but y'all know what I want to take back tonight. And y'all know it's on the spiritual level. I want to take back the Holy Spirit. I'm tired of folk playing with the Holy Ghost. I'm tired of folks selling it for a donation of $99.99, and you can get the holy this and the blessed that, or, you know, send this donation, and we going over to this place, and we going to pray over the Jordan that this can happen in your life and that can happen in your life. And, you know, we talking in tongues in the church and then going outside and cussing out the first person that look at us the wrong way. I want to take back the Holy Spirit. I'm tired of folk playing with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'm sorry. And I believe, and the funny part is, I really believe that if we was to take back the Holy Ghost for real, and I mean for real, like they used to back in the olden days, like when them old mothers would get on the prayer bench, the morning bench, to start the praying over folk before they had drug rehab, they had the morning bench. But before, you know what I mean? Before they had juvenile delinquency schools, they had them old mothers in the mourner's bench. And the Holy Ghost would fall for real, sure enough. Deliverances would take place for real, sure enough. And I believe if we would stop praying with them, and really start walking and living in them.
Amen.
That authority that you're talking about, and that prioritizing and saving that Adrian is talking about, would all come right into place. I just really believe it.
Yeah.
If we would get real with God and just stop playing.
And it would be a real simple fix.
Amen.
And the blessing of it is, we believe it, because it's the day after the resurrection. You can't tell me that it ain't going to work. So get on board, get on board, get on board. And I sign off just like that, because get on board, get on board, get on board. If you see things, say something. Speak on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to speak on anything, like you don't want to say it to them, say it to God. Speak to God about them. Speak to God about those situations. Get on board, get on board. We can do this. It's a real simple thing. And if we all do it individually, it just works. Nobody feels more or less, because everybody fixes themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
In 2 weeks, 3 weeks, what is it? The third Monday. It's the third Monday?
Third Monday of the month.
All right. So we'll see y'all in May.
Praise the Lord. See y'all
praise
in May.
See you then.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.